We want to start this hour by returning to our coverage of the emotional outpouring from a young man's death in a community near St. Louis, Ferguson. People responding to the death of 18-year-old African-American Michael Brown, fatally shot on Saturday during what is reported to be an altercation with local police. The demonstrations and unrest are continuing.
Justice! Now! Justice! Now!
Ferguson is one suburb of St. Louis, Missouri, 21,000 people, nearly 70% of whom are black. The town is part of a quilt of diversity and racial and economic disparities that has been the source of tension for decades. In 1917, East St. Louis, Illinois, erupted in some of the most serious racial violence in U.S. history. Clashes between African-American workers and whites fighting over jobs and wage security. It is also the home of Dred Scott, a slave who unsuccessfully sued for his freedom and whose name marks the historic landmark Dred Scott decision. Garrett Albert Duncan knows the long and complicated racial history of St. Louis and the surrounding communities. He's associate professor of African and African-American studies at Washington University in St. Louis. Professor, welcome.
Greetings.
How would you say the stage has been set for tension and racial violence in the St. Louis area based on its growth over the last century?
Well, you know, a lot of what is going on in St. Louis, as well as East St. Louis, is similar to what has happened in other northern cities. For example, the 1917 race riots in East St. Louis is akin to what some folks, or what W.B. Du Bois called a massacre, what some folks call sundown towns or racial exclusion. And it goes way back, actually, to Reconstruction when the state began operating in support of the white property ownership and whites in general. And so we still see that going on, where the imperatives, especially the white elite, are met and the African-American communities are actually excluded.
And this is reflected, it seems, and you put your finger on this, in the map of St. Louis and its metro area, in the sense that people can see that gateway arch from communities who can never benefit from the sort of symbolic prosperity and success of St. Louis's story in American history.
You are spot on. That's absolutely correct. And it's actually generational. So this is not something that just happened. Part of what's going on, very specifically as it relates today, is deindustrialization. And so if you go to North St. Louis, which is a code word for black, you see all these vacant buildings. There used to be a prosperous, predominantly black community. But when manufacturing, you know, when our economy shifted, and manufacturers left, you have vacant buildings and a loss of jobs and the inability of black residents to go into the suburbs or predominantly white communities to get jobs. So there's always an economic twist to this.
How would you say the demonstrations in Ferguson and the unrest that we're seeing right now is playing out and resurrecting some of the tensions that you're describing?
Well, first of all, we have to make a distinction between individuals and a protest. The vigil in Ferguson is basically community-based, and you have people coming from the outside participating in the vigils. Now, some of the destructive behavior is actually outside of Ferguson. You have folks coming in to exploit a situation that has nothing to do with Michael Brown. But everything is being conflated because no one knows who's who. And in many ways, it's inflaming this notion of black criminality. But the fact of the matter is, if you watch carefully, those associated with the death of the young man are pleading for peace in the same way Martin Luther King or Thich Nhat Hanh. But people collapse the two, and we don't see that. And so folks are actually blaming those who are trying to prevent the violence.
I suspect that confusion, the media has really played a role in some of that as we've gone forward over the last few days. Describe to me, is there any history of tension between law enforcement and African-Americans in St. Louis and the communities around it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There is a reluctance of the law enforcement agencies, whether in a county or in a city, to really engage the citizens. And part of the political machines are involved in this as well, where there's a refusal to meet people or to establish citizen review boards. That's not going to happen in my lifetime in St. Louis. And so there is this intense distrust because things tend to always go in a way opposite of the interests of the Black communities. And interestingly, the county executive, Charles Dooley, was just defeated soundly. I've never seen an incumbent beat so bad. He lost 66-33% by another Democrat who will always end his ads with, "and I'm a conservative," which is a code word for the support of law enforcement. And for some of us, there's a racially tinged message in that as well.
Finally, Garrett Albert Duncan, Associate Professor of African and African-American Studies at Washington University. Do you think in St. Louis we are revisiting a 1964 moment of tinderbox-like tensions, regardless of what happens on the political level, just as the Voting Rights Act didn't prevent riots throughout America back in the 60s?
Right. No, actually, I will move it up to 1992, or the Rodney King trials and the aftermath of what happened there. And I say this because there might be some superficial changes. And this is what happened back in Los Angeles. I was actually there in Los Angeles. I don't see any major movement going forward out of St. Louis. There are certain cursory, certain, I would say, short-term solutions, but I do not see any long-term solutions.
Garrett Albert Duncan, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Garrett Albert Duncan is Associate Professor of African and African American Studies at Washington University in St. Louis.